नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 69 टेक्स्ट 1-6। श्रीसुक उवाच नरकं निहितं श्रुत्वा ततो द्वाहं च योषितं कृष्णे नैकेन बाह्विनां तद्दिदृक्षु स्म नारदः। श्रीशुक उवाच नरकं निहितं श्रुत्वा ततो द्वाहं च योषिताम् कृष्णेनैकेन बहविनाम् तद्दिदृक्षु स्म नारदः। श्रीशुक उवाच नरकं निहितं श्रुत्वा ततो द्वाहं च योषितम् कृष्णेनैकेन बहविनाम् तद्दिदृक्षु स्म नारदः। नरकं निहितं श्रुत्वा ततो द्वाहं च योषितम् कृष्णेनैकेन बहविनां तद्दिदृक्षु स्म नारदः। श्रीशुक उवाच नरकं निहितं श्रुत्वा कृष्णेनैकेन बहविनां तद्दिदृक्षु स्म नारदः। श्रीशुक उवाच नरकं निहितं श्रुत्वा ततो द्वाहं च योषितां कृष्णेनैकेन बहविनां तद्दिदृक्षु स्म नारदः। माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच नरकं निहितं श्रुत्वा ततो द्वाहं च योषितां कृष्णेनैकेन बहविनां तद्दिदृक्षु स्म नारदः। We'll read the meaning verses. Chitram bataid dekena vapusa yugupat prathak griheshu dvishta sahasram striya eka udavahat iti utsuko dvaravatim devar shir drashtum agamat pushpito pavanarama dvijali kula naditam utfulendi varambhoja kahalara kumuddotpalahe palay चुरीते सूचे कूजिताम हंस सारसय प्रसाद लक्ष्ये नवभीर जुष्टाम स्फाटिक राजते महामरकट प्राख्यै स्वर्ण रत्न परिच्छदै विभक्तरथ्या पथ चत्वरापने शाला सभाभिरुचिरां सुरायले संक्षिप्त मर्गांगन वीथि देहलिम पतत पताक ध्वज वारितात्पतपम। प्लीज रिपीट द ट्रांसलेशंस। श्री सुक उवाच, सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, नरकम द डेमन नरक निहितम किल्ड, श्रुत्वा हियरिंग, तथा ऑल्सो उद्वाहम द मैरिज च एंड योषिताम विद विमेन कृष्णेन बाय लॉर्ड कृष्ण एकेन वन बहविनाम विद मेनी तत् दैट दिदृक्षुः वांटिंग टू सी स्म इंडीड नारदः नारदा चित्रम वंडरफुल बत अह आह एतत् दिस एकेन विद अ सिंगल वपुसा बॉडी युगपत साइमल्टेनियसली पृथक सेपरेट गृहेषु इन रेजिडेंसेस द्वि टू टाइम्स अष्ट एट साहस्रम थाउजेंड स्त्रियः विमेन एकः अलोन उदावहत ही मैरिड इति दस उत्सुकः ईगर द्वारवतिम टू द्वारका देव ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स ऋषि द सेज नारद द्रष्टुम टू सी आगमत केम पुष्पिता फ्लावरी उपवन इन पार्क्स आराम एंड प्लेजर गार्डन्स द्विज ऑफ बर्ड्स अली एंड बीज कुल विथ फ्लॉक्स एंड स्वॉर्म्स नादितम रिसाउंडिंग उत्फुल्ल ब्लूमिंग इंदीवर विथ ब्लू लोटसेस अंभोज डे ब्लूमिंग लोटसेस कहलार व्हाइट एक्सक्यूलेंट लोटसेस कुमुद मूनलाइट ब्लूमिंग लोटसेस उत्पलये एंड वॉटर लिलीज चुरुतेसु फिल्ड सरहसु विद इन लेक्स उच्चहे लाउडली कूजितम फिल्ड विद द कॉलिंग हंस बाय स्वॉन्स सारसे एंड क्रेन्स प्रसाद विद पैलेसेस लक्षय हंड्रेड्स ऑफ थाउजेंड्स नवभि नाइन जुष्टाम अडोन्ड स्फाटिक मेड ऑफ क्रिस्टल ग्लास राजतय एंड सिल्वर महामरकट विद ग्रेट एमरल्ड्स प्रखय स्प्लेंडरस स्वर्ण ऑफ गोल्ड रत्न एंड ज्वेल्स परिचद्धये हूज फर्निशिंग्स विभक्त सिस्टमैटिकली डिवाइडेड रथ्य विद मेन एवेन्यूज पथ रोड्स चत्वर इंटरसेक्शंस आपने एंड मार्केट प्लेसेस शाल सभाभी सभाभी विद असेंबली हाउसेस रुचिराम चार्मिंग सुर ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स आलय विद टेम्पल्स संक्षिप्त स्प्रिंकल्ड विद वॉटर मार्ग हूज रोड्स अंगन कोर्टयार्ड्स विथि कमर्शियल स्ट्रीट्स देहलिम एंड पैशियोस पतत फ्लाइंग पताक विद बैनर्स ध्वज बाय द फ्लैग पोल्स वारित वॉरिडर ऑफ आत पाम द हीट ऑफ द सन। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिस डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation. Sukhdev Goswami said, hearing that Lord Krishna had killed Narakasura and had alone married many brides, Narad Muni desired to see the Lord in this situation. He thought, it is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Thus, the sage of the demigods eagerly went to Dwarka. The city was filled with the sound of birds and bees flying about the parks and pleasure gardens, while its lakes crowded with blooming Indivara, Amboja, Kahlara, Kumuda and Utpala lotuses resounded with the calls of swans and cranes. Dwarka boasted 900,000 royal palaces, all constructed with crystal and silver and splendorously decorated with huge emeralds. Inside these palaces, the furnishings were bedecked with gold and jewels. Traffic moved along a well-laid-out system of boulevards, roads, intersections and marketplaces, and many assembly houses and temples of demigods graced the charming city. The roads, courtyards, commercial streets and residential patios were all sprinkled with water and shaded from the sun's heat by banners waving from flagpoles. Purport. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada beautifully describes the city of Dwarka as follows. Being inquisitive as to how Krishna was managing his household affairs with so many wives, Narada desired to see these pastimes and so set out to visit Krishna's different homes. When Narada arrived in Dwarka, he saw that the gardens and parks were full of various flowers of different colors and orchards that were overloaded with a variety of fruits. Beautiful birds were chirping and peacocks were delightfully crowing. There were tanks and ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these sites were filled with varieties of lilies. The lakes were full of nice swans and cranes whose voices resounded everywhere. In the city there were as many as 9 lakh great palaces built of first-class marble with gates and doors made of silver. The posts of the houses and palaces were bedecked with jewels such as touchstones, sapphires and emeralds, and the floors gave off a beautiful luster. The highways, lanes, streets, crossings and marketplaces were all beautifully decorated. The whole city was full of residential homes, assembly houses and temples, all of different architectural beauty. All of this made Dwarka a glowing city. The big avenues, crossings, lanes and streets, and also the thresholds of every residential house were very clean. On both sides of every path there were bushes, and at regular intervals there were large trees that shaded the avenues so that the sunshine would not bother the passerbys. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in today's verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are starting a new chapter entitled Narada Visits Krishna's Palaces. And we have just heard a beautiful description of, these palaces. And why did Narada land up in these palaces? Why did Narada land up in Dwarka? So we have, before this, we were discussing about the marriage of Samba, where we heard about the unequaled prowess of Shri Balaram. And, In one of the purports it is mentioned there that even today, Kurukshetra is at a slightly raised place because, Balaram dragged it a little bit, towards the Ganges. So we can understand what is the, what is the power and strength that the Supreme Lord has through some of these pastimes. Here it is mentioned that Narada went to see this, the Supreme Lord in Dwarka. He went all the way to Dwarka to visit Krishna and to see his unique family situation as it is described here. So it is genuinely a unique situation because there are many people who are very envious of Krishna. Now there are people who are religious, there are people who are atheists, there are people who are in various categories. But of those who are somewhat religious, somewhat, matlab, they have just kind of, have a slight bit of religious tinge in them. Many of these people are unfortunately very envious of Krishna. They are unable to tolerate the fact, they say that how can one person marry 16,108 wives? How is it possible? This is ridiculous. And, they become very envious of Krishna because of that reason. They are not able to reconcile that how could Krishna do this. It's very difficult to understand. And even Narada, the great sage, of course he is able to understand how Krishna does this, but he is still curious to know that how is this possible, if we see in a family situation, generally, for most people, to have one wife, one or two children, few children, itself is it's a handful, it's quite a handful, just to have one wife, one husband and some children, just to manage the family is not the easiest of jobs. It's a very difficult thing, immense sacrifice involved, immense tolerance involved, so many things you have to tolerate, so many things you have to be, humble and accept. So, and of course there are many nice things also about family life. So, that is why the world is going on today, right? The world is going on because there is family life. There are so many people here because there is family life. But generally it is difficult for one to conceive that how is it possible to have anything beyond, one wife? How do you manage the situation? And here Krishna has got 16,108 wives. Not one, not two, not eight, not ten. 16,108 wives. So for the greatest of devotees like Narada also, it's not that he is doubting. It's just that he is curious to know. I mean, how is he doing this? This is also a fantastic leela, right? How is he managing so many wives? How is he managing the situation? And he has heard that there are different palaces for each wife. It's not even they're all together, you know. It is described that some of these kings in the Middle East, you know, they would have a harem where there would be many wives all in one place. Now God knows how they coexisted, how peace was maintained between all of them. But here Krishna is having each one in a separate palace. So Narada is also curious to know ki, how is this leela happening? Is he, you know, going to each palace and meeting each of them? Even if he meets everyone one day, if he spends one day with each wife, that's 16,108. I don't know how many years that is. You know, over several years, 3,600 will be 1 year, 10 years. That's almost like 50 years. Over 50 years, he'll spend one day with one wife. Still, you know, he will practically not cover all the wives. So how is he going to do it? So Narada is also curious, which is why he lands up here and he sees the beautiful palace of Dwarka. So it is very interesting for us. The Srimad Bhagavatam is full from top to bottom. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of various pastimes of the Lord, which show us the opulences of the Lord. You know, we hear that there are these six primary opulences, you know, of beauty, strength, wealth, knowledge, fame and renunciation. So the Bhagavatam, through the wonderful pastimes that are described there, it gives us a flavor, you know, of how the Lord, through any one of his incarnations, he kind of just gives a small, you know, jhalak of his opulence. The Lord doesn't need to show off. He doesn't need to. Because anyone who is the proprietor of all material and spiritual worlds, everything belongs to him. So he doesn't need to show off. When do we show off? I mean, we all like to show off something, right? We like to show off when I have something which I perceive somebody else doesn't have. Right? That's when you kind of show off. You know, I am kind of better than you in this, you know. I sing better than you. I play mridanga better than you. I dance more gracefully than you. That's when we show off. Because someone else is not able to, you know. So we are kind of watching. Is everyone looking at me, you know. See how nicely I am doing. So that is when we show off. But when you have everything, no one is equal to you. Not by any measure. Dur dur tak koi aas paas bhi nahi hai. Then what is there to show off? That is the Lord's situation. He doesn't need to show off anything. Therefore, when he comes to the material world and he displays his opulences, those opulences are not displayed because he wants to show off. He wants to crush the demons. I'll crush them and I'll show my power. No. Even when he fights with the demons, he makes it an even fight. He doesn't like, you know, completely like with Hiranyakashipu also when Narsingdev fought. It was not like a, you know, in one shot, he just comes, grabs him, puts him on his, you know, lap, waits, okay, twilight is coming, till then let him struggle, and then I'll kill him. No, he fights with him for a few moments, and even the demigods become anxious that, hey, what's going to happen? So the Lord, even when he displays his opulences, he does it in a very balanced way, you know, very, very nice way, so that the devotees are also excited to hear the pastime, and it's not like a one-sided match, you know, it's nice. So through various pastimes that we see in the Bhagavatam, we hear about the opulences of the Lord. If you look at the strength aspect, through the pastime of Narsingdev, we can understand what is the power of Narsingdev, how powerful, you know, we know how powerful Hiranyakashipu was. He was so powerful physically and, you know, by stature, that even the demigods trembled, you know, in front of Hiranyakashipu. The seasons were changed, everything was changed, you know, the way material nature was moving was changed because of Hiranyakashipu, such a powerful entity. And Lord Narsingdev crushed him like a wasp, as we chant every day, you know, like you catch an insect and crush it between your fingernails. You know, that is how he was killed. We see the power of the strength of the Lord in so many incarnations actually. We see how Varahadev, you know, actually lifts the entire Mother Earth between his tusks. One can imagine, you know, see, we say, we often give the example that if you want to imitate Krishna, you lift Govardhan. Right? So that is like one manifestation of Krishna's power. But forget Govardhan, Varahadev lifted the whole earth. The whole earth, you know, the entire Mother Earth he lifted. Krishna, of course, lifted the Govardhan, and Krishna did so many. Of course, if you see, examine the pastimes of the Lord, you can see Krishna appearing in all opulences. You know, of course, we say that the Lord in every incarnation displays every opulence. But still, Krishna has shown all opulences in full and also all Leelas in full. That's why he is known as Leela Purushottam. So he has displayed every one of these opulences, you know, in a beautiful way. Then we have the opulence of beauty. You know, if you see beauty, the beauty of Lord Ram, you know, is described in so many ways in the Ramayana. What beauty Lord Ram had. What beauty Vamandev had. We are going to be celebrating Vaman Dwadashi in another 1 or 2 days. It is described the beauty of Vamandev, though he came as a dwarf Brahmana. Just the effulgence that was there from his body was so beautiful, so wonderfully beautiful, that even Bali Maharaj was spellbound by his beauty. Bali Maharaj's sister, she was spellbound by the beauty of, of Vamandev. And of course Krishna. Krishna's beauty, it is described, I mean, Vishnu, Krishna, the beauty is described in various places in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, I remember once, we had heard in a lecture, that Krishna, once while passing through, you know, he sees one of the, you know, pillars. He sees one of the pillars, and in the pillars, he sees his own reflection. And even he is taken aback. Just by seeing his own beauty, he is stunned for a moment. That, my God, what is this? What kind of beauty Krishna has that even he is not able to, you know, contain his own beauty. So, this is the beauty of the Supreme Lord, which has the ability to attract Madana. You know, like Radhesham Prabhu was speaking very nicely about the beauty of the Lord and beauty of Srimati Radharani, who is Madana Mohana Mohini. So beautiful is Krishna. Then, if you take the opulence of knowledge, you know, again, we see how the Supreme Lord Krishna, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharata, at every stage, if you see, Krishna is so wonderfully giving the right advice, because he is the source of all knowledge. In the Gita, Krishna says, Vedeshta sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krit ved videva chaham. That I am the source of the Vedas, I am to be known by the Vedas. Everything in this material world, whatever knowledge is there, whether it is material knowledge, it is spiritual knowledge, any kind of knowledge, Krishna is the source of that knowledge. He is like the fountainhead of that knowledge. So, he displays very briefly when, you know, in his pastimes as Krishna, most of his pastimes are sweet pastimes, you know. Sweet pastimes are sometimes he shows the Kshatriya spirit and he kills the demons. In Vrindavan, he shows the sweetness of his pastimes. He shows all the different rasas. Only briefly for those 45 minutes, 1 hour, when he is speaking to Arjuna, and later then when he speaks to Uddhava, he actually preaches. He actually speaks something philosophical. And even that, Bhagavad Gita was actually a conversation. It's not as if, you know, like he prepared for that lecture and he, you know, said, okay, I will speak so many verses. Nothing like that. Krishna just, you know, spoke this Bhagavad Gita, spontaneous conversation between the Supreme Lord and his devotee. And even today, each verse is worth its weight in gold. You know, you can just pick any one verse from the Bhagavad Gita And if you really try to analyze what Krishna is saying there, Prabhupada says that any one verse you take, you know, it can change your life. So that is the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. You know, people may say so many things. People may speak eloquently. People may write eloquently. Like yesterday I was reading, somebody sent me a link where the Chief Minister of Maharashtra, Devendra Fadnavis, he has written some letter to some journalist, you know, about that journalist is protesting against the meat ban. So it was like a controversial topic. So therefore the Chief Minister has clarified the situation. Very nice, very eloquently written. Each word is very carefully chosen. Data is well researched. I'm sure there must have been a team of 4 or 5 people who sat and worded that for him, and then he must have, you know, kind of sent it. But here the Supreme Lord, whatever he is speaking is spontaneous, and yet it is all purifying for all time to come. That is why it is absolute. We say absolute truth. Absolute truth is that which does not change. Whether it is spoken in Kurukshetra or it is spoken in Hastinapur, whether it is spoken in Radha Gopinath Mandir or it is spoken in someone's house, that truth does not change. Whether it is spoken in 2015 or in 1985 or in the year 5555, whatever year it is spoken in, the truth will not change. That is what is the absolute truth. And that is what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. We hear even, another manifestation of the Supreme Lord, which shows the opulence of knowledge, is what? The Paramatma. You know, one of the expansions of Krishna is the Paramatma, which is residing, who is residing in everyone's heart. In everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto. Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Now, one can just imagine for a second, right, what, you know, who is this Paramatma and what is his, you know, understanding of the everything that is happening in the material world. Every activity and the effect of that activity on times to come is recorded by the Paramatma. The Paramatma is the knower of everything. He is the sanctioner of those activities. Nothing, as we say, nothing in this material, patta bhi nahi hil sakta Bhagwan ki ichha ke bagair. Right? That means that every activity that is happening in this material world, he is overseeing, upadrishta, and then anumanta, he is also the one who sanctions every activity that is happening. Can we imagine what kind of information, you know, the Lord is storing as Paramatma? Right now, if I want to harm somebody, okay, I have a desire to harm somebody, but I will not be able to do it because the Lord is not going to sanction it. Because this person doesn't have the karma to be harmed by me. So no matter how hard I try, I can't harm him. I can't. Uska ek baal bhi baanka nahi kar sakta, as they say. So this is, I mean, it's a very mundane thing in one sense. But this is the kind of knowledge that is stored in the, you know, the intelligence of the Paramatma. And he is merely an expansion of the expansion of the expansion of the expansion of the Supreme Lord. So, when we speak of these opulences, it helps us understand what is the Lord, who is the Supreme Lord, who is, you know, controller of everything. If you look at fame, you know, fame of the Lord, the Supreme Lord, of course we all know, you know, Lord Krishna's fame, even today he is famous, you know, sometimes he is infamous. You know, people malign him, but you can't forget him. People speak about Krishna either to malign him or to glorify him. Or use his words to earn fame themselves. But Krishna is famous. What to speak of Lord Ram? Lord Ram existed millions of years ago. Millions. As per mundane historians also, many, many years ago. At least 10,000 years ago. Right? And as per what scriptures say, millions of years ago, But still, even till today, Lord Ram is remembered and loved. You know, there are many people who have written autobiographies. There are many people who have written biographies about great people. The Ramayana is the longest lasting biography in this world. It has been around for millions of years. Valmiki wrote it when Ram was there. And it is still there. It has been preserved generation after generation after generation. It has been preserved and people have recited it. People have been purified by it. And even today, anyone who chants, you know, the names of Lord Ram and, you know, glorifies Lord Ram through the Ramayana, they are glorified because they are chanting Ramayana so nicely. So what is the fame of the Supreme Lord? You know, another thing, you see, Krishna, for example, he is mentioned, you know, in all dance forms, you know, I'm not talking of modern dance forms, you know, Western dance forms, but any classical dance form in India, you know, the variety of dance forms we have in India itself is very amazing. You know, each state in India has got a different kind of art and culture. It's amazing how much variety is there in this country itself. Each state has got a different kind of dance. Gujarat, there is a kind of dance. South India, there is a different kind of dance. North, so Bharatanatyam will see, you know, in South. North, you'll see a lot of Kathak. East, there is Kuchipudi. There is Odissi. So many different kinds of dance forms exist in India. Just one country, you know. And in every one of these dance forms, if you see, the music that is played in the background while they are dancing will be typically something about Krishna. Classical music, all the different ragas that are composed, the songs that are set against them, mostly will be glorifying Krishna. So what is the fame of the Supreme Lord? We cannot even imagine what kind of opulence he has of fame. We may think we are famous, you know, I am quite a well accomplished guy, you know, everyone knows me. But how many people know us and how many really care? Many people may know, but you know, who cares? Like, everyone knows who is Barack Obama, but who cares? Right? In India, most people, okay, he's the president of the United States, so what? Mujhe kya farak padta hai? Nobody cares. But the Supreme Lord is known by everyone and famous through thousands and millions of years. Then we see, you know, we see the renunciation of the Supreme Lord. That is another opulence of the Supreme Lord, renunciation. How after killing Narakasur, after killing Kamsa, after killing Ravana, the Supreme Lord does not keep anything for himself. It's not as if after killing Kamsa, he went and sat on the throne. Okay, now, you know, I am the king. You know, I am the king of Mathura. He never did that. Though he is known as Dwarkadish, but who was the king of Dwarka all through? Ugrasen. Till the end it was Ugrasen. Till the Yadava dynasty was finished. Till that time it was Ugrasen. Even after all the others were finished also, it was Ugrasen only. He was the king till the end. So Krishna never wants the position. You know, after doing something, he immediately leaves it. He finishes the job and he leaves. Because he's not attached to anything. He's a supreme renunciate also. We see as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he renounced everything. But this is this renunciation of the Supreme Lord. And of course, in this particular verse, a small glimpse is given of the wealth aspect of the Lord. Just a small glimpse. In Dwarka, what kind of opulence was there? It is unimaginable. You cannot even imagine. 9 lakh palaces. Can we even conceive what 9 lakh palaces can mean? And each of them, as it is described by Srila Prabhupada, made of impeccable marble, crystal, and the doors are made of silver, and everything is bedecked with emeralds and rubies and so many kinds of precious stones. Of course, we may think a little bit of exaggeration. Thoda jyada ho gaya, you know. Aisa kaise ho sakta hai? How is it possible that so much opulence is there? But we can see, you know, like last month or maybe month before last month, yeah, in August, early August, I had gone to Hyderabad. So we had some event, you know, from my company. So we had gone to Hyderabad. And in Hyderabad, this was an event where all customers were called to stay for 2 days and to listen to us, you know, what we want to tell them. You know, so that 2 days event was there. Like a captive event. They were captive for 2 days to hear what we have to tell them. And this event was held in a palace called Taj Falaknuma Palace. Falaknuma means, Falak means sky and Numa means mirror. So mirror of the sky, that is the name of the palace. So this was built in around 1885, around 120 years ago. Not 130 years ago, not that long back. And it was built by the Prime Minister of some Nizam. Some Prime Minister of some Nizam had built it. To understand what is the opulence of this Nizam is unimaginable. You just see the palace, you'll know what I mean. It has got a dining table which can accommodate 101 people. It's like that dining table is from Shishirada Gopinath till where Shirada Gopinath Prabhu is sitting, all the way there. Maybe more. Very long dining table. Apparently, they used to eat, all of them would eat in plates of gold. Now they have kept, you know, some model plates there which are made of brass, shining brass. But whatever dinners were held there, you know, the British would come, the Viceroy, the, you know, various people would come and eat there. They were served in plates of gold. It has the largest collection of Italian chandeliers in the world. Everywhere you look, you see rosewood, teak, everything is carved exquisitely. It has a library. That library has the largest collection of Qurans, you know, and one of the oldest. There's one which is, I think, some from the year 1100 or something. You know, some very antique pieces, all kinds of priceless paintings, sculptures, you name it. Everything is there in this palace. And this is just the palace of built by some Prime Minister of some Nizam. Okay. If you go to the Hyderabad Museum, there's a museum there called Salar Jung. So Salar Jung was one more Nizam, different Nizam. And all the stuff kept in that museum are basically the artifacts of, you know, the things owned by that Nizam. So unbelievable opulence. Fantastic paintings and statues and all kinds of stuff is there, you know. So we can understand what was the opulence of these kings by seeing museums today. You know, otherwise history books don't talk much about what opulence these people had. By going to a museum, if you're lucky, you'll get to see something. You know, another example is in Hyderabad itself, there is a fort called Golconda Fort. You know, a very famous fort called Golconda Fort. Near Golconda Fort, there was a mine, a diamond mine. And as per, you know, Wikipedia, again, my knowledge is based on Wikipedia, I don't know the reality. But it was the only diamond mine in the world till the 17th century or something like that. All the major diamonds were coming from there. This famous Kohinoor diamond, which was stolen by the British and lies in some British museum today, that also came from there. Huge diamond. The Shah of Iran, what crown he wears, that has a diamond, and that diamond came from that mine. So the opulence of this country, today we see a lot of poverty, we see a lot of, you know, but there was tremendous opulence. So what is the opulence of the Supreme Lord? You can imagine. It's not difficult to imagine, actually. If one ordinary king in one, you know, nondescript corner of India has got so much opulence, what might have been the opulence? Of course, it's been looted so many times, the country has been looted so many times, that today we don't have that much wealth. But yes, the opulence of the Supreme Lord is unimaginable. So, in the rest of this chapter, the awesome potency of the Lord is described. So it is said in the Upanishads, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The Supreme Lord has multi-potencies which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength and activity are being directly solely by His will. So the Lord automatically, without any difficulty, without any effort, just by His internal potencies, everything is automatically achieved. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita that these things are automatically achieved. Like when Lord Chaitanya, when He was performing Sankirtan, He was dancing during the Rath Yatra. So He multiplied Himself many times. And He was part of every Sankirtan party. And it is described there in the purport that the Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. Meaning He was not in external consciousness. It's not that, you know, He divided Himself and now He is very alert. Okay, yahan kya chal raha hai, wahan kya chal raha hai, what's going on in this Kirtan party, how am I dancing in that Kirtan party. No, He was completely lost to the world when He was dancing in Kirtan. He was in ecstasy. But by the arrangement of the internal potency, everything was automatically going on. It is wonderful how the Lord's internal potency acts. You know, I remember once His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj had spoken in one lecture. He had mentioned that when Krishna is, you know, when He is performing the pastimes in Vrindavan, okay, so when He is fighting with Sridhama, He is wrestling with Sridhama, and He loses. What's happening here? How is it possible Supreme Lord can lose? It's obvious it's play acting, right? I mean, understood. It's play acting. He says, no, it's not. Krishna is trying his best. But he is so overpowered by the love that he has for Sridhama, he forgets he is Supreme Lord. He also forgets. None of the Vrajvasis remember that he is the Supreme Lord. And Krishna himself also doesn't remember. He is just one amongst them. And he forgets, and he loses. And he is defeated somehow, you know, Sridhama defeats him. And sometimes Krishna defeats him also. It's not that every time Sridhama wins, sometimes Krishna wins. As I said, evenly matched contest, right? And Krishna is not artificially doing it, it's naturally happening. It's all arranged by the internal potency. And then he said, at the appropriate time, when the demon comes, the internal potency comes and kind of taps on Krishna's shoulder. Haribol, you know, there is some demon, you should pay attention to this now. And then Krishna becomes the, you know, all-powerful Supreme Lord who kills that demon. So this is the potency, internal potency of the Lord, which manifests the Lord's, you know, pastimes in such a beautiful way. So we are able to see His sweetness and His position of God in the same breath. So if you see in these pastimes, here Krishna has divided Himself into 16,108 forms, as we will read now going forward. In every palace, Krishna has divided Himself into a different Krishna. You know, and as Radhesham Prabhu was explaining on Radhashtami class, in the class, that it's not even as if He is the identical same Krishna in every palace. He's different. So if there is one queen who's little short, Krishna becomes short. If there is one queen who is very tall, Krishna becomes tall. Even the face cut, you know, Krishna adjusts according to that queen. So that queen is very comfortable, you know, that, this is my Krishna. You know, there is no concept that this is the same Krishna, you know, carbon copy, cloning. He is not like cloning Himself, He is different. Not just He is cloning Himself into something different forms, He is even performing different pastimes in each palace. And that's what is described in the rest of this chapter. When Narada goes and visits, first palace, Krishna meets him. He is with Rukmini. Rukmini is fanning him. It's just like Rukmini had thousands of maid servants, you know. But still, she was personally fanning the Supreme Lord. And then Narada comes. And Narada comes, Krishna springs up, you know. Makes Narada sit in his seat. He washes his lotus feet. And you know, very nicely serves him and drinks that water. You know, is in all the beautiful dharma of a kshatriya, of a grihastha, the Supreme Lord very nicely does. And then Narada, you know, he takes leave. He says, okay, I'll just go to the next palace. He goes to the next palace. There Krishna is playing dice with Uddhava and one more queen. He's playing some dice game. And then again when Krishna sees him, again Krishna just gets up. Hare, Narada, what brings you here? So you see, this is again the beautiful sweetness of the Lord. It is not that, you know, he is not knowing that, oh, Narada already came there and now he is coming here. This is one more form. Okay, I already know. Okay, Narada, okay, I've come again. Chalo, now I already washed your feet there, so, you know, please. So it is described by the Acharyas that in every palace, Narada was received with the same respect. In every palace, Narada's feet were washed and the water was drunk by Krishna. So you can imagine, what is the kind of reciprocation that Krishna does? It's not an artificial thing. The Lord reciprocates with everyone in this manner. You know, he is all-knowing. But at the same time, for reciprocating with his devotees, he becomes like an ordinary person. You know, it is described in one of the pastimes going forward, in one of the palaces going forward, Krishna has just come back after, you know, dressing himself as incognito, you know, disguising himself and going out into the city to meet all the citizens and see what they are saying. In the older times, kings would do this. So he has done this, he has gone around and met everyone and come back. This is what he is doing. So Narada, when he sees this, he starts laughing. He said, my Lord, what is there that you don't know? Why you have to go incognito like this? But still the Lord does it. This is the sweetness of Krishna. So in this way, he divides himself into 16,108 forms. And then we hear earlier in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna divided himself into all the gopas, all the calves for one full year. Why? So that he could reciprocate lovingly with all the devotees of Raja. Whoever had a desire to serve him in that 1 year got the opportunity to serve him. So he divided himself into so many forms. Yeah, and of course, he has divided himself into millions and billions, millions of billions of forms as what? As the Paramatma. So the Supreme Lord has the ability, and as Paramatma, he is personally available for us. Not that, you know, he's just one dot there, you know, and that dot is just like, okay, tick mark, he's there. He's around, you know, if anything is needed. No, if we turn our attention inward, the Supreme Lord is waiting for us to do that, to reciprocate with us. So the yogis who meditate on the super soul within, they are able to experience reciprocation of the super soul. It's not some just, you, okay, I take a darshan and go. He is able to see the super soul. Super soul starts reciprocating in such a way, he starts seeing the super soul everywhere. In every living entity, in every element of material nature, he is able to see the super soul. That is reciprocation. He is able to see the Lord everywhere. So, you know, if we have any concerns in our heart, you know, while I was reading this pastime, one of the thoughts that came in my mind, I'll end with this, is that if we have any concerns in our heart, we may be thinking, you know, if at all I make it to the spiritual world, matlab bahut mushkil hai, very, very unlikely. But if at all I make it to the spiritual world, a spiritual world, there are millions and billions of, you know, Supreme Lord's pure devotees who have been there for God knows how long, you know, since eternity they have been there. Mera kya hoga, you know, there's one Krishna. What about me? You know, I am so insignificant. I am servant of servant of servant of servant. I'm nobody. I'm not even servant. I'm just useless. If I make it to the spiritual world, will Krishna reciprocate with me individually? These pastimes can give us the confidence that the Lord has the ability and the desire and the, you know, he actually manifests in so many different forms for his queens. So he will be also present in the spiritual world to reciprocate with us individually. So this is the beautiful, you know, the opulences of the Supreme Lord are multifarious, they are unlimited. From these opulences, we can derive inspiration, we can derive the, you know, the, we can be inspired, we can, you know, one is the pastimes in the Bhagavatam give us inspiration and they also give us a purification that is needed. Simply by taking shelter of Shri Radha Gopinath. We are so fortunate that by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, you know, we are able to receive this wonderful knowledge, which reveals to us what the spiritual world looks like. You know, this is a description of the spiritual world. Dwarka is spiritual world. The description of the spiritual world, where we can see what the spiritual world looks like, sounds like, and also how the Lord manifests in so many different forms to reciprocate with each individual in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Puran ki jai.